My dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? My dear Lord... Missing a translation. Number two. Yeah, mine's missing one. Yeah, missing. Oh, I see. It's underneath that. I'm so sorry. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, then I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be merciful to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. O Swarup Damodar, personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. O six Goswamis, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami. O Lokanath Goswami, my beloved spiritual master, I pray for your mercy also. O Srinivasacharya, successor to the six Goswamis, please be merciful to me. Narottam Das always desires the company of Ramchandra Chakravarti. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.Z. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a song composed by Narottam Das Thakur. He prays to Lord Chaitanya, my dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? Actually, this is a fact. Not only Narottam Das Thakur, but also Rupa Goswami prayed to Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the time of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami at Prayag, Allahabad, Srila Rupa Goswami said, my dear Lord, you are the most munificent of all incarnations because you are distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. When Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions. First of all, you surrender. But this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself, makes no such condition. He simply distributes. Take love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is approved as the most munificent incarnation. Narottam Das Thakur says, please be merciful to me. You are so magnanimous because you have seen the fallen souls of this age, and you are very much compassionate to them. But you should know also that I am the most fallen. No one is more greatly fallen than I am. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls, but I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. Then he prays to Lord Nityananda. He says, Haha, Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy. Then he prays to Advaita Prabhu, Doya Koro Sita Pati, Advaita Gosai. Advaita Prabhu's wife's name is Sita. Therefore, he is sometimes addressed as Sita Pati. Thus Narottam Das Thakur prays, my dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me. Actually, Advaita Prabhu invited Lord Chaitanya to come down. When Advaita Prabhu saw that the fallen souls were all engaged simply in sense gratificatory processes, not understanding Krishna consciousness, he felt very much compassionate toward the fallen souls, and he also felt himself incapable of claiming them all. He therefore prayed to Lord Krishna, please come yourself. Without your personal presence, it is not possible to deliver these fallen souls. Thus, by his invitation, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Naturally, Narottam Das Thakur prays to Advaita Prabhu, if you will be kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda also will be kind to me. Then he prays to the Goswamis, Haha Swarup Sanatan Rupa Raghunath. Swarup refers to Swarup Damodar, the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. He was always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he immediately arranged for whatever he wanted. Two personal attendants, Swarup Damodar and Govinda, were constantly with Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur also praised to Swarup Damodar, and then the six Goswamis, the next disciples of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Rup, Sri Sanatan, Sri Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. These six Goswamis were directly instructed by Lord Chaitanya to spread this movement of Krishna consciousness. Narottam Das Thakur also praised for their mercy. After the six Goswamis, the next Acharya was Srinivas Acharya. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur was in the disciplic succession after Srinivas Acharya and was almost his contemporary. And his personal friend was Ramachandra Chakravarti. Therefore he prays, "I always desire the company of Ramachandra." He desires a devotee's company. The whole process is that we should always pray for the mercy of the superior Acharyas and keep company with pure devotees. Then it will be easier for us to advance in Krishna consciousness and receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. This is the sum and substance of this song sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Go premanande haribo. So the six Goswamis were expert at pouring out transcendental songs about Govinda to purify the conditioned souls of this world. Brahmanna brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti lata beach. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami that the soul, jiva, is wandering eternally in the material world. And when he becomes very fortunate, by the mercy of Krishna, he gets the association of Guru. And by the association of Guru, he gets the association of Krishna. Brahmati brahmate, he's wandering and wandering. This state of being lost in the material world, in a foreign environment, is the condition of material life. If by good fortune such a person comes in contact with a devotee physician who has hymns and instructions, then by those hymns, those mantras, and by those instructions, that soul can turn towards the path of going back home, back to Godhead. The path in the material world is called pavarga. Pa, pa, ba, pa, ma, pavarga. This means, pa means that everyone has to work hard. It's the nature of the material world that you can't stop working. You're forced to work hard. Then pa means that you have to work so hard that your foam comes from the mouth. Ba means that it's futile, because no matter how hard you work and no matter what you accumulate, you'll lose it. Ba means fear. While we're in the world, no matter what species of life we're in the material world, we're always afraid. Because ahastani sahastanan apanani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. In this world, one living being is food for another. Satyadev told me the story that he was on a train in Japan. Actually, we were sharing stories one day last year on the back porch with Satyadev and Ramana Swami. We were standing there. And I forget the story Radhanath Swami told, but Satyadev told the story about how he was sitting on a train, and just then a dragonfly
in Takao.
In Takao, yeah.
You go from Takao to Takao, so you have to go through that tunnel.
Yes.
It was coming out of that tunnel. It was a sub-tunnel.
Okay, I'm going to let you tell it. Start from the beginning. Here's your mic.
So I was riding on a train, it was the summertime, and it was just coming out of a tunnel, and the train wasn't going very fast, it was just going one stop to the end of the line. And all the windows were open. In those days, nowadays the trains are pretty much air conditioned, but in those days, the older trains, they weren't air conditioned, so all the windows were open, it was summertime. And right about this far away from me was a dragonfly sitting there, a beautiful dragonfly, and I was just looking at it. And suddenly, this yellow wasp came down and just started eating right through the middle of this dragonfly, just chomping and eating it, and I could see the dragonfly holding on and squirming and in agony. And then the doors open, and a man comes in and sits down on both of them and squashes them. And I was sort of in a contemplating mood watching all of this, thinking, wow, this material world is so severe. And death comes, you know, in any moment, and sometimes in very painful, you know, hellish way, you know, horrible ways. That's all.
In the context, we were standing on the back porch, Radhanathaswamy, myself, Satyadev Prabhu. Radhanathaswamy had just told a story, I believe, about how he was sitting on a rock meditating many years ago, before he became a devotee, I think, and he was at the Ganges, way up in the Himalaya. And just then, a big, huge hawk came hovering over his head, closer, 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 closer. And just as he was sitting there, the big bird dove into the water, grabbed a huge fish, and pulled him out of the water. And just as he did, he lifted him up, and he could see the eyes of the fish. And he was terrified. And he was wriggling to get free, but the bird had the fish in his talons, and he flew up further, 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 and just took him away. And he had told the story just thinking about how death can come at any minute. It can come and grab us. And so he was saying that we must swim deep. Go deep, deep, deep. Be lower than the deep into spiritual life so that that hawk of death can't come and grab us so easily and take us away. And he was imagining the fish going off into the forest so far away from his normal environment. And he had told that story. And then Satyadev said, well, this is a story. And he told the story of the dragonfly, the wasp, and the man. And as soon as he did, Radhanathaswamy fell at his feet as if saying, you've done one better. The last story, remember that? Pa-pa-pa-pa-ma. Ma means mrityu. And mrityu means death. So this is the path of the material world, pavarga, these syllables. Spiritual life means apavarga. It reverses the process. Apavarga means we're now on a path going back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna comes as an avatar. Avatar means one who comes from beyond our experience, from beyond what we can see, what we can know, and appears before us. And so Krishna is very kind, especially in his form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation of Krishna, who just freely distributes love of God to everyone. And here in the song, we hear about Advaitacharya and the heart of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is paratukaduki. And that means that a Vaishnav suffers because of the sufferings of others. This is the heart of a Vaishnav. And in the material world, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the normal state is that if I see somebody happy, I become unhappy. And it doesn't matter what I say. I see someone happy, I may say, I'm very happy too, but inside I'm very unhappy to see that someone else is enjoying happiness. And when I see somebody distressed, I become very happy. The nature of the material world, the hard heart, the selfish heart, the kripana, the miser. But a Vaishnav, the Vaishnav's heart has melted. It melts in association with other great Vaishnavas, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the heart becomes druta. Druta means it's now melted from the hard condition. Darashmasharam hridayam bateram tadgrihamanar harinamadeyai. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that the heart becomes steel framed. And therefore, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, when one comes and associates with great Vaishnavas, the heart doesn't change. They remain hard-hearted. The Vaishnavas are the greatest living entities, and they're so dear to Krishna. But someone with a hard heart will criticize Vaishnavas, even dare to disrespect them. This hard-heartedness is the disease of the material world. But by association with Vaishnavas and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the heart can melt. When we chant without offense and sincerely pray to Krishna, this is the sign of advancement in devotional service. Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatana rago jita chuta ucher asatyato rotiti rauti gayati unmadavam rititi lokabayaha. When one takes to the chanting of Hare Krishna with a great vow, then gradually the heart begins to soften and gradually it melts and one becomes intoxicated, dances and chants like a madman, not caring for anyone in the outside world. And then the devotee becomes compassionate, actually feels compassion for all living entities everywhere. And this is a paradukaduki, suffering because of the suffering of others. And therefore, the business of a Vaishnava, what is a Vaishnava engaged in? What kind of movement is there for a Vaishnava in this world? This is called paraupakar, doing good for others. This is the life of happiness, thinking how I can do good for others. What is the greatest good? To give someone a chance to connect with Krishna again. If you're, Bhakta George was telling me yesterday, he was saying that if a mother is walking through a department store and she loses her child, what is the greatest grief of the mother? Can you imagine that the mother's with the child in some busy department store, busy downtown place, and somehow or other she loses a grip on the child and the child is lost in the crowd, or he wanders off and she can't find him. Imagine how the mother feels. What is the panic in her heart? She's practically one with the child. She's so attached to the child out of loving care. She'll sacrifice her life for her child. And when she's now lost him, he's wandered away. What is the feeling in her heart? And in that state of angst, if some kind person goes out, if it's his or her way, finds the child and brings the child back to the mother, how much she'll appreciate, what kind of overflowing gratitude will she have? So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamayavamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshashtan indriyani prakriti stani karshati. His part and parcel, his dear one, the soul, he's intimately connected, has become lost in the material world and is struggling very hard with the six senses and the mind, fighting this battle life after life after life. So if some kind person who has become knowledgeable in the science of Krishna consciousness, who knows what is the best thing for that lost soul, and despite the soul's reluctance, even soul becomes bewildered because of the ignorance of the material world. It doesn't even know there's a home to go to and may even fight against that rescuer. Still, that person takes the soul, brings back to Krishna, and introduces. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there is no one in this world more dear to me than that person who goes and brings other souls back. It's like the mother. Her heart is so torn, missing the child. And when you bring back, say, here, you can be a complete stranger, but then that you become the greatest hero for that mother. She'll thank you for the rest of her life. So much gratitude. So those who are engaged in this work of bringing others back to Krishna, Krishna says in the Bhagavad, there is no one more dear to me than this person. Nor will there ever be one more dear to me than someone who goes out, takes a risk in this world to go out and find other people and bring them back by the hand and bring them to Krishna. So this was the mood of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya felt as he's the greatest Vaishnava. And his heart was pained to see the condition of the souls in the Kali Yuga who are being slaughtered by ignorance. And therefore, he knew, I need the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come personally to liberate people in this world. And he began to pray that the Lord appear personally in the world. He made loud cries in his prayers as he worshipped his Shalagram Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, because he read a verse in the Shastra that says that when one offers with devotion just a palmful of Ganges water and a Tulsi leaf to Krishna, he becomes so indebted that he sells himself to that devotee. This is Krishna. This is the nature of Krishna. He's Karuna Sindhu. He's the ocean of mercy. And if you can get just one drop, even a trace of that mercy, atapite deva padambuja dvaya prashada leshanagrihite evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko picharamba chimban. Lord Brahma said in his prayers as he fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna that anyone who can get just a trace, a lesha, of this mercy of Krishna, he can know everything about the Lord. But someone who doesn't have that trace of mercy, they can go on speculating for millions of years and they will never understand. It is absolutely necessary to get the mercy of a Vaishnav in order to attain perfection in spiritual life. Rahuganai tat tapasana yati na chejaya nirvapanagri hadva na chandasa naiva jalagni shuryar vina mahatpadra jo bishekam. The only way to actually attain the perfection of spiritual life is to get the dust of the feet of a devotee. Actually, all Vaishnavas are worshipable. All Vaishnavas are worshipable, just like in the Ganges. The Ganges has big waves and it has small waves. And both of them are Ganges waves. Doesn't matter big or small, they're both worshipable. But Shastra says, the Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita by Narhari Sarkar Thakur, he writes all about the relationship between the Vaishnavas. What is Vaishnava etiquette? How to get the mercy of a Vaishnava? It's a very sweet science. And there's an etiquette. There's a subtlety in the culture of Vaishnavism through which we actually get the mercy of other Vaishnavas. We can't barge in to the spiritual world with our shoes on. We cannot just say, I want Krishna Prema, and therefore I'm going to barge in and get it. We have to approach with utter humility, and we have to go to one who is dear to Krishna and submit ourselves. There is no other way to make advancement in devotional service, actually. That's how the mercy comes down. Because, as Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. One time I was in Jagannath Puri, riding on a rickshaw with one of my dear friends, who is a very, very interesting devotee. Joined Srila Prabhupada's movement in 1970, I think, and did extraordinary service, selfless service for Srila Prabhupada, helped to build temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur, and had a very dedicated relationship to Srila Prabhupada, very close relationship. And it's hard to tell because he grew up on the streets of San Francisco and he has a rough exterior. But soft heart, like anything, full of bhakti. And then one day I was just this with this senior godbrother and I was sitting on the rickshaw. And someone had asked me, he said, why did Prabhupada call you Vaisheshika? Because one meaning of Vaisheshika you'll find in the books is it's a philosophy of atomic theory propounded by Kannada. Not exactly a Vaishnav connotation. So what, I asked him, so why did Prabhupada call me Vaisheshika Das? He looked at me, he said, you're his dog. He can call you Lucky, Sparky, whatever he wants. So feel fortunate you got a name from your spiritual master. And I felt so satisfied to hear that answer. That we have to become the dog of a Vaishnav. Because love me, love my dog. And we also have to see that those who are dear, those who are connected to the spiritual master there, by serving them, we make advancement in devotional service. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, Das, 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 anudas. Of course, the Shastra says this too, but Prabhupada says, 10 times removed, das, 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 anudas. The more removed you are, the more you think, I'll cut in line, I'll become direct, you've missed the point. You become das, 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 anudas. You're in a more advantageous and direct position, the mystery of devotional service. How one is the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant in the greatest humility. In whatever situation Krishna arranges for me, how he sets that up, this is how one establishes one's relationship with Krishna. It is based on not some ecclesiastical, that means a church-built structure of how one is to approach Krishna. But it is based, according to Shastra, on the intense desire within the heart of a living entity who has become fortunate. Brahmanda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti bhata bij. This is the Shastra says, when one becomes fortunate, Krishna reveals to him someone who will guide him back home, back to Godhead. We only need look inside. What is in my heart? How am I desirous of attaining Krishna? If that spark is there, you're fortunate. If you have a desire to go back home, back to Godhead, if that awakens within your heart, somehow you've gotten some good fortune from a Vaishnav somewhere, even unknowingly. You've come across the path of a Vaishnav. You've done something. Previous lives, wandering the universe, you opened the door, you moved the bag, you gave a donation, you did something. And now you become fortunate. And Krishna begins to work his magic, moving us from one place to the next. It's his will. And for those who are very sincere, actually Krishna told Yudhishthira, Yasya hamana grinnami harishe dhanam shanai. When I become very merciful, show my supreme mercy to someone, I take away everything. I take away everything. That person who has then to go to the search the depths of their strength and their soul to see where can I grab on, and has some fortunate desire for Krishna, and then begins to call out, not with the lips, not mechanically, but from the very soul, Krishna, please help me. This is what attracts Krishna's attention more and more. This is the process of advancing in devotional service. It's not a lip service, but it's the crying out of the soul for Krishna. And this is what goes on in Vrindavan. Practically every day in Gokula Vrindavan, some big demon comes. Everyone's playing with Krishna, and the Trinavarta demon comes in as Mother Yashoda sets him down for a minute, picks him up and takes him off into the sky. And Mother Yashoda is crying out for Krishna. And Krishna kills that Trinavarta demon, falls to the ground. When Nanda Maharaj went with the cowherd men on a pilgrimage to visit Lord Shiva and do some respects to Shiva and his wife, they were staying overnight in a holy place, and just that night a huge python came out and began to swallow Nanda Maharaj. All the cowherd men brought burning logs and they began to beat on the snake, but didn't stop him. So Nanda called out, Krishna, Krishna, save me. Immediately Krishna appeared and put his lotus feet on the snake, who transformed into Vidyadhara, who had been cursed to become a snake because he had laughed at a sage. But all the time, devotees are calling out to Krishna, please, please save me. So Advaita Acharya was in this mood of calling out to Krishna from his heart, please come. And because he's a great Vaishnav, he wasn't calling just for himself. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chatur vida bhajante imam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignasa artarti gyani cha bhartarshava. Four kinds of pious men approach me. One in need of money, one in distress, one who's inquisitive, one who's actually realized. Of the best is the gyani, or is the one who knows me. Tesham gyani nitya yukta esha bhakti vishishite. Priyohi gyani nityartam ahamsacha mama priya. And all those kinds of people call out for Krishna, but the best of them are those who actually are calling out for others, for the sake of others. Lord Shiva says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. When the demigods and the demons got together, they collaborated because they wanted to churn the milk ocean in order to bring out some auspicious articles. Actually, they were after the pot of nectar upon which drinking one would become immortal. That's what everyone wants in the material world, that pot. So they got Mandara Hill, they got Vasuki, they brought that gigantic hill with the help of Lord Vishnu, they put it down in the middle of the milk ocean, and Lord Kurma acted as the pivot. He had a itchy back. He wanted it scratched by the gigantic Mandara Hill. Then they began churning back and forth, and the water became a little agitated. Vishnu had to come out and actually help, and then the water really agitated, and the first thing that came out of that milk ocean was deadly poison. They churned the ocean and deadly poison came out. It was going to destroy the universe. So they went and took shelter of Lord Shiva. They said, you're a great Vaishnav. You care about everyone. Please save us. And Lord Shiva says, Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana. He said, the greatest austerity, the greatest tapasya anyone can perform is to show mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. This is the way to worship Krishna who's in everyone's heart. It's to show compassion, to do something to bring the soul back to Krishna, seeing that the spiritual soul is within everyone's heart. This is the way, the best way to worship Krishna who's in everyone's heart. So Advaita Acharya, the great Acharya, was praying, please come and save these fallen souls. And he cried out to Krishna, and Krishna listened. He heard him. And he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the world through the Sankirtan movement by distributing love for God to everyone. So this song is a preamble to the great auspicious day. Tomorrow, which is the appearance of Advaita Acharya, and we can meditate on him and his compassion and his desire to do good for the world and how he called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come down. What a simple thing it is, bhakti. A palm full of water and a tulsi leaf. But with his whole heart, he called for Krishna and he appeared. So we should pray for his mercy and meditate tomorrow on this divine holy day of Advaita Acharya's appearance tomorrow, that we can also develop the heart of a Vaishnav. Or we can pray that somehow or other we can have proximity to a Vaishnav. Please just let me sit near a Vaishnav. Let me see a Vaishnav. Let me see a Vaishnav. There's no better prayer. I want to see a Vaishnav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks for a big thing. He says, let me be a dog on the porch of a Vaishnav. Tie me up on that porch. And when the great Vaishnavs inside are taking their prasad, maybe they'll leave some scraps, they'll throw them over the side, and that's what I'll take. And if anyone comes to disturb them, I will just bark them away. This is the feeling of someone who's das, 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 and a das, servant of a Vaishnav. So we have to study the Chaitanya Charitamrita carefully over and over and over again and see what is the etiquette between Vaishnavas, how they serve each other, how the Vaishnavas have compassion for others. Kalidas, the great pure Vaishnav in Jagannath Puri, he went everywhere. Actually, he was in Bengal. He went everywhere in Bengal, and his goal in life was to take the remnants of food of every Vaishnav in Bengal. He would go to their house, and he would bring them nice prasadam, and then he would ask them for their remnants. And many Vaishnavs would not give their remnants because they would say, I'm not worthy to give any remnant. So Kalidas would go outside and wait. And of course, in Bengal, at that time, maybe still in some places, they would eat off a banana leaf plate, plantain leaf. And then they would, sooner or later, they would take it after eating and throw it outside in the place where the cows and the crows and everyone else would come to get that. So he'd wait there in hiding. And when they'd throw the plate, and he'd come out and he'd take the remnants. He had so much faith in the Vaishnavas. This was his heart, to somehow or other serve the Vaishnavas and get their remnants. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased with him. So much so that he allowed him to take the water that washed his feet before he went into the Jagannath temple. He didn't allow anyone. But one day Kalidas was standing there when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to enter the temple, washing his feet. He held out his palm once, drank twice, third time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, enough. The author says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew the heart of Kalidas, that he was a servant of the Vaishnavas, and therefore he gave him so much mercy. He knows what is the mentality. That's what he's looking for, that mentality. That is there in Advaita Acharya. And tomorrow is his appearance day. We should meditate on Advaita Acharya when we chant tomorrow. Tomorrow, very mercifully, is a fast day. You don't even have to worry about eating. Simple. So simple not to eat. You just save yourself half a day. Cooking, eating, digesting, eliminating, all that stuff. Cleaning up. Don't eat, at least till noon. Noon is the breakfast time. So the whole morning time, we can meditate on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Call out like Advaita Acharya and ask Advaita Acharya for his mercy. If he was calling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come down and he was seeing how everyone was suffering in Kali Yuga and wanted to help them, he'll certainly help us. He's the combined incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. Hare Krishna. Pardon me? Well, it comes from the word, you know, Vishnu. Vishnu means the supreme person who pervades everything. And a Vaishnav is one who worships Vishnu. So really a Vaishnav, in a really general term, is someone who understands that there are several aspects of God. And they see that the highest aspect is the personal aspect. And they focus their mind there. Because there's in the spiritual world, in the highest realm of the spiritual world, we heard in Ishapanishad today that there's an effulgence that comes from Krishna. And in the external realm of the spiritual world, there's a glaring effulgence called the Brahmajyoti. But as one actually approaches the planet of Krishna, there's activity, there are relationships with Krishna, intimate relationships with Krishna in different rasas. In the rasa of servitorship, in the rasa means like a relationship where there's a taste. Like in this world, if you look around, you'll see that everyone is after the relationship. It's all about the taste. Like a person works hard so they can have a relationship somewhere. And this is, no one lives in isolation. Even you'll see birds and other animals too. I was watching out my window the other day, and hummingbirds, you know, they spend time together. One flies up, the other one sits next to him, one flies off, they go off together. It's all a reflection of what's actually going on in the spiritual world, these relationships with the Supreme Person, who has a relationship that's unique with every single soul. There are unlimited souls, and Krishna enjoys that relationship with each soul in a unique way. Each relationship is very unique. But they come in categories. They're called dasya, servitorship. Sakya means friendship. This is a more intimate kind of relationship. Servitorship, there may be some feeling of reverence. You're my master, I serve you. But in friendship, it becomes less. That opulence, you can put your arm on the shoulder. You can cut a joke at your friend's expense. Right? You can tell when you have a closer friend, if you feel free to make a joke at their expense, that you'll both laugh because you're so close that you can touch their body, you can bump into them, and you're practically one. This is what oneness with God means, actually, through this affection. The closer you come in affection, the closer you are that you can put your arm around the Lord in friendship. Even sometimes in Goloka, they wrestle, Krishna and his friends. And his friends are victorious, and they'll say to Krishna, "You're not so great." This is the sweetness, the closeness of this personal relationship with Krishna. And then comes a thickening of that relationship in the parental ras. Parents are so much attached to their children, and they do so much service all the time. Children don't serve their parents. The parents still serve the children. And it's constant. So they raise his eyebrows. Yeah? Yeah? I'm not saying exclusively. I'm just saying, especially when they're very young, there's a lot of... But the parents don't mind. It's out of affection. They'll stay up all night. They'll come at any time. You know, they'll rescue. I remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, I was 16, and I went on traveling Sankirtan a few months later, and I went with some older devotees. We were up in Sacramento, and we went into a state fair, and there was big signs on the outside saying no soliciting, illegal, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, we went in anyway. And about half an hour later, we all got arrested. And they took me to juvenile hall. In America, if you're under 18, you can't go to jail. You have to go to juvenile hall. It's where they take young people who are criminals. So I just joined the Hare Krishna movement. I ended up in juvenile hall, hundreds of miles away from my home. And the only people that can take you out of there are your parents. And I just left them to become a monk in a religious organization. And next thing they know, they're getting a call from juvenile hall, which I had never seen the inside of my whole youth. And they said, "Come get your son. He's in juvenile hall." So they had to drive all the way out there in the middle of the night. They picked me up and they brought me back to the temple and dropped me off. And I was just thinking, what is the, you know, a parent will come and get you and, you know, dedicated. So this parental ras is very intense, that the parents are always worried about Krishna, thinking of Krishna, how to take care of him, how to protect him from all the elements. They have this deep anxiety, but it's bliss. In the spiritual world, these kinds of emotions that in the material world actually cause us sickness and anxiety, in the spiritual world, they're a form of bliss. And this is why we say that this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. It's an opposite image. And what's it's called Hlada Tapachaya. What is bliss in the spiritual world ends up as the greatest misery here in the material world. Which brings me to the highest rasa in the spiritual world, which is called the Madhurya rasa, or the sweetest rasa of all, which is where Krishna and his devotee are actually lovers. This, you know, kind of sharing secrets, sneaking away in the middle of the night together, pining for the lover, thinking of the lover. This is the highest, this is the pinnacle of love for God as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pumarto Mahan, this kind of prema, this intense desire, it cannot be equaled. Even you see in this world, people, they're so brokenhearted. Shakespeare's full of it. He's sorry, Bill. His plays are full of this kind of juxtaposition where the lover meets the beloved, and then they get star-crossed, and now they're separated, and they commit suicide. You know, Romeo and Juliet's the great classic of that. You watch that play, and you're, oh no, your heart is wrenched. That's from the spiritual world. Only here, it's actually hellish. The ambulance comes, and there's inquiries, and and there's pain, and in the spiritual world, the pain is actually pleasure. And the intensity of those relationships is the pinnacle of spiritual happiness. This is itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasam gatanam paradaivatenam mayashitanam sakam vrijaru krita punya punja itam satam bhutya sukhana bhutya dasam gatanam paradaivatenam Mayashritanam Naradarakena Sakam Vija Rahu Krita Punya Punjaha. This is the verse spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. He says that those who are who worship Krishna in an impersonal mood, they just see the Brahma Jyoti. Some worship him as just an impersonal light. Others, in the mood of servitude, they have this reverence. Others, they see Krishna as an ordinary person. Naham prakashya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudhoyam nabijananti lokamamajamavyam. Krishna says in Gita, they become covered over by the material energy, and therefore they think, Naradarakena, he's just another person. He's not God. Sakam vrajahu krita punya punja. But those who have heaps and heaps of Sukriti, this bhakti Sukriti, they've become spiritual trillionaires by association with Vaishnavas. They're playing with Krishna in the spiritual world as friends. Sakam vrajaru krita punya punjaha.
Prabhuji, when we have demons in the spiritual world, are they like in the friend relationship?
No, but there's no demons in Goloka, but there's rumors of demons. So it's the same thing. And these pastimes go over and over again, and each time they're fresh. So in Gokula, the demons actually come, and there's a big fight and the interaction. In the spiritual world, the feeling that they're coming is there. This is like a drama, and it's, you know, to increase the drama all the time, there are these opposing elements and demons who are coming and rumors of Kamsa. And in the hearts of the devotees, they over and over again, they take shelter of Krishna, and it increases their attachment and their relationship with him. Is that what you meant? Or a different question? Okay. So to actually be with Krishna, this is the to come back to Godhead, to our original relationship with Krishna. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritish chaparivasa. We have, who are we? We're part of the spiritual world. Sanityo nitya sambandha, and we have a sambandha. We have a nitya sambandha. Imagine you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Prakritish chaparivasa. We're part of that supreme, just forgotten, been disconnected somehow or other have become disconnected. So now we have the opportunity in the next 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, whatever age you are, to utilize this human form of life, which is the most rare opportunity to redevelop, reignite this relationship with Krishna. Prabhude Jnana Sambandha. Prabhude Jnana Bhakti. Don't waste a second or you end up like the dragonfly. That's right. Comments? Commento? Question. Complaints. Money back guarantee. Give your money back if you want. Reflections. One thing you heard stuck in your mind. It's payback time. Satya will start. He's got a smile on his face.
I like the meditation on Advaitacharya and how he set the example of calling out for the Lord purely, and not for himself but for others. I'll take that home with me.
Arigato. Sugiwa.
I have a question and a reflection. What I'm going to take back is the dasanu dasanu das. The more far removed that you are, the more Krishna likes it that way. And I forgot my question.
It'll come back. You can pass.
Yeah. So my question was when you said that if you offer just water and tulsi leaves with pure devotion to Lord Krishna, So at what kind of a stage does that transformation happen? Like when I try to cook for Krishna, I always try to make the best possible thing for him. And when does that transition happen that the devotion increases so much that just water is good enough and Krishna takes that? I mean, I would think that if I start offering water to Krishna, it would be arrogance on my part.
Well, Prabhupada once said, Krishna doesn't see what you give, he sees what you hold back. That's another way of looking at it. So he's Bhavagrahi Janardana. He knows our intimate feelings, and it's not a matter of quantity or, it's really the essence of the kind of sincerity that you hold in your heart for. I know you weren't necessarily talking about quantity, but when you actually feel that, when you get Krishna's mercy, it's Krishna's mercy when we feel that some inclination to do some service. We're any power that we have to move on the bhakti marg is coming from Krishna's mercy. It's like maintaining a. This chanting of Hare Krishna, it's such an exalted thing. Rupa Goswami says that no one in this world, even the greatest poets, put them all together, they cannot come close, even a universe close, to glorifying the holy name enough. This is who we're associating with. The great Supreme Personality of God and in His holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought this to the world, brought the holy name. And if we have some inclination for that, we've received the mercy. There's some special, special mercy that we've gotten. And if we feel some inclination to serve in some way, this is a special mercy that's coming from a Vaishnava, actually, somewhere. We're getting that. So, we say causeless mercy comes in its own time. We have to, if we chant, it's kind of like sitting outside the door and just waiting for Krishna to come out and get us. But you can pray for it. Transformation comes when you get Krishna's special blessing. But we should expect it. This is one of the symptoms of someone who's advancing in devotional service, actually, is to have ashabandha. It's a very particular kind of feeling, ashabandha, which means to have great hope to receive Krishna's mercy. One's hoping all the time. In fact, Rupa Goswami says that one hopes despite all of one's disqualifications. In other words, I am no good at yoga. I have no brain for jnana. I'm not in the Varnashram system. He names these three. I'm outside the Varnashram, disqualified. I have no brain for jnana, no Sanskrit, no nothing. I can't, you know, move in that realm at all. And I also have no, I can't control my senses. I'm in yoga, I'm useless. All these three things. But still, I'm thinking, because Krishna's mercy is so powerful, because he's all powerful and all merciful, he can come and get me. And there's that hope within the heart that, please, and this is qualification, actually, this kind of intensity, you know, praying like that. When we have that feeling, when we're desperate, this is akinchana gochara. Krishna is akinchana gochara. This is what a Vaishnava is, an akinchana. This is the definition. This kinchanasya bhagavan bhajano mukasya param param jigamasur bhavasagarasya. Beautiful verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about how, you know, the devotee is a kinchana. Kinchana means I have something. I have something to hold on to in this world. I am somebody. I have my shelter ready made in my mind, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to protect myself. But an advanced Vaishnava is a kinchana, that I have nothing. I have nowhere to go. I'm only depending on Krishna. And I'm disqualified in the extreme, and therefore I'm only praying that Krishna can please just give me special mercy, special circumstance this is. When Rupa and Sanatan came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they knew he was the incarnation of Krishna. They prayed to him, and they said, we know your mission. You've come to give mercy to the most fallen. They said, then we should be first. Because, hi Krishna, because no one is more fallen than us. Therefore, please consider our case. Move us to the front of the line. That's the qualification, actually. So when we have that great humility and that great hope within our heart, that's what Krishna responds to. He's Bhavagrahi Janardana. He knows what our feeling is in the heart. Doesn't matter where we are. You could be in the middle of Greenland or Iran and, you know, wearing work clothes and, you know, working in some mine shaft. Doesn't matter where you are. Krishna is all pervading. He knows. He's there within the heart. It's not external circumstance. It has everything to do with what I'm holding in my heart. And what my actual desire is. We should develop that intense desire, and cultivate humility. This is the way to advance in devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Trinada pi sunichena toro ivasuhishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. I was watching a film of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. His name was Bhakti Bhai Bhav Puri Maharaj. I knew him because one time when we were traveling with from Mayapur to Vrindavan, which we used to do when we go to Mayapur every year. Prabhupada told us to come to Mayapur, so then all of us would go to Mayapur, and then we'd all go to meet Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And one year we went to Puri also. And then when we were traveling by train, the train stopped, and Prabhupada's godbrother Puri Maharaj brought all these puris to feed everybody on the train. And Prabhupada brought some of his disciples a year or two before that to meet him and such. And anyway, later on, after Prabhupada had passed away, Siddhanta Prabhu has done these films called The Memories of Srila Prabhupada, and he goes around the world and he interviews people who met Prabhupada or knew him and say, you know, what are your memories? And so this elderly Vaishnav, who incidentally came to ISV, I don't know if you remember, back in the old temple, brought him there once. And he was, anyway, in the interview, they Siddhanta asked Srila Puri Maharaj, he said, can you tell some quality of Srila Prabhupada? Can you remember one quality? What quality in him stuck out? And he sat back and he said, to describe the quality of a Vaishnav, this requires the mercy of the Vaishnav to say something like that. In other words, he was practically, speechless. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. That he was praying for the mercy to be able to say something about another Vaishnav. So this is, you know, we don't move by our own power. We can't force our way along. We have to beg. We have to become transcendental beggars. We have to develop humility. Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was saying, Trinadapi Suni Chena. This verse means that one should become like as humble as grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respect to others, even if they don't give respect to you. Are you ready for that? Get ready. That's spiritual life. That's what it is. There's nothing of substance beyond that. Any kind of scholarship, not important. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the illiterate Brahmin in South India who was sitting reading Bhagavad Gita incorrectly because he had no training. But his spiritual master told him, you read Bhagavad Gita every day. And everyone was laughing at him because they were trained, they could recite like anything. And they thought, useless. Joke. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed him sitting there. He was crying as he was reading Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. He asked him, why are you crying? What's your emotion? He said, as I read Gita, I can't read it, but my spiritual master told me I have to do this. And whenever I think how Krishna is so kind to his devotee that he came and he drove Arjuna's chariot for him, that's Bhagavan. He's devoted to his surrendered servants. Hari Bhakti Vatsal. Hari Bhakti Vatsal. Then when I think of how kind he is, I begin to cry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, you've understood Bhagavad Gita. Not the flowery recitation. Not those who think, I know Gita, I can say Gita, I memorized everything. And that Brahmin stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some time as he traveled around. He gave him his special consideration. So it's a matter of what's in our heart, and we should cultivate this humility. And we should take the dust of the feet of Vaishnavas. Das, 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 under das. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. One who does that, who cultivates this inner mood of great humility, tolerance. What does it take to tolerate? There's so many things to tolerate in this world, constantly. But like a tree gets chopped down and he doesn't even say anything, and then he serves after he's chopped down. Says, please, let me provide wood for your house and then for your fire. How can I keep you warm? He was just chopped down and he still gives back. More tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. That sense that I'm somebody special. I have some qualification. Our only qualification in spiritual life is I feel I have no qualification. Develop that. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, then you can go on chanting Hare Krishna constantly. You'll be blessed. The Lord wants to be around someone like that. That's who he wants to spend time with. Kinchana Gochara. Somebody's, I don't have anything, I'm broke, I'm destitute, I'm the lowest of the low, and I'm going to go on serving you no matter what happens. And that mood, then Krishna's always with the person, never leaves the devotee. And a devotee doesn't care. Narayana parak sarvena kutashchana bibiti swarga pavarga narakeshu apituljana darshanaha. The devotee doesn't care in heaven or in hell. Because he's just attached to his service to Krishna. Doesn't matter where he goes. And Krishna himself told Narada, Naham tishtanti vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva tatra tishtami madbhakta yatra gayanti madbhakta. Yatra gayanti madbhakta. He said, I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not in the heart of the yogis. Where am I? Always situated wherever pure bhaktas. Yatra, in that place, wherever, yatra gayanti madbhakta. Wherever my bhaktas are singing my glories with devotion. That's where I really am. So we have everything. You have a perfectly good mantra. Once Jayananda Prabhu wrote a letter to Prabhupada and was asking some questions about how to advance in spiritual life, and Prabhupada wrote back and said, it's the same old answer. Chant Hare Krishna with devotion. Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. From? Padma Purana. It's in your shloka book. You want to have a look at it? 372. Any Hare Krishna. Any last reflections or questions? Pull a rabbit out of the hat. Everyone okay? I'm not convinced. You found it? Okay. So tonight we started with the Shish Upanishad. Good practice to have this little book and just once a day recite all the mantras. And we did that. We read from mantra number 16. Pushanikarshe is 16. And then we had a kirtan for about 35-40 minutes featuring the acharyas who were here. And then we read the purport to this song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. And then we had some discussion. And here we are at this point. Any realizations from the day? From your life? You got to give me something back. Something back. Your realization from your life, something. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, after listening to this verse, Yatra Gayanti Madbhakta, there is, I think in Vishnu Sahasranamam, last verse says, Sankirta Narayana, Shabda, like, wherever Sankirtan is there, Narayan is there. So.
Wherever Sankirtan is, Narayan is there.
Thank you.
All glories to the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram.
It's a good name.
Say it. Sankirtan Narayan. Sankirtan Narayan. That is nice. It has a ring to it. Any other realization? Throw something back at me. Yeah.
In this age and day of quarrel and strife, to have a very strong faith in one's spiritual master is the biggest asset that one can have. And that I'll pray that, you know, both for my Diksha and Siksha Guru, and eternal lotus feet. That's what you had.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hansapriya.
So on last Sunday, we had opportunity to spend some time with Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu in the morning, because Bhaktivasal Prabhu had went through recent surgery and he wasn't feeling good. So Prabhuji came over to help us out. And he spent whole morning waking the deities, offering, and he had a wonderful time. After the deities were done dressing, he was just like staring at the deities, and from him, the word, I think South Indian word, came out like, his alankaram is so good. So I just realized from his statement that, you know, he spent whole morning being engaged, and how the devotional service is so... Prabhupada has given us such a wonderful tool to get attached, and it's about, not just it purifying them, but I think it's just the relationship, the bonding, how the devotional service gives us that opportunity.
Very nice. Very nice. Hare Krishna. It's a simple thing, bhakti, but it's the most real experience for one who's engaged properly. Bhakti parishanubhava. Anubhava means you directly experience it. And anyatra trisha trika ekakala, that there's, once you experience even a little taste for seeing Krishna's beauty and doing some service like Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu is doing, then the rest of the world looks pale. You don't have to be a big yogi, control your senses, but if you get some mercy from serving Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, that their name means they attract us away from the attraction of the material world. And what is that? It's the attraction to the opposite sex, this madan. And this is what is attracting every species. You can look. The sea cow, if you go to the aquarium, if you've ever seen a sea cow, gigantic creature that swims in, he's got these big whiskers, you'd think, like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen, but they're attracted. And everyone's attracted. You know, this is Maya's spell. One new sannyasi, he had just taken sannyasi, it was 1975. I was on the party of this sannyasi, he was our leader. And he'd taken sannyasi 1975 at the temple opening in Vrindavan. We came back to New York, which is the 340 West 5th Temple. It was a 13-story building. And Prabhupada was talking to this brand new sannyasi, brought him up to his room, and he said, "Did you see the women of New York?" And he's thinking, "What do I say? Is this a trick?" Prabhupada said, "Did you see the women of New York?" And he's like, "Huh?" And Prabhupada said, "This whole thing, all these buildings are going up, everything's going on because of Vishnu Maya. Everyone's working hard, willing to go through their whole life working hard for this Vishnu Maya because of this attraction, which is just skin deep. But Krishna's Maya is so strong. Daivahi eshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya." I remember I was walking with Satyadev Prabhu in Japan once. We had stopped over at some interim place on the train, and we'd gone for a long walk. And then there were some film people on the street. They were filming some models, some Japanese women models. And just, you know, we were chanting our japa. We walked by the whole scene. They're all made up, you know, and beautiful costumes. And just as we walked by, I heard under Satyadev's breath, "Daivahi eshu gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya." And I was thinking, this is the benefit of association with a devotee, that you're constantly reminded, you know, that this attraction in the material world means death. It's that story that Satyadev told earlier about the dragonfly who thinks everything's fine and the wasp comes and starts eating him alive. He told the story earlier on the train. He saw the wasp comes in, then he's sitting enjoying in the, and then, the dragonfly comes in with all this beauty, and then a wasp comes in and starts eating him, cutting him in half. And just as he's doing that, another man comes in, sits on both of them, and finish. That's the nature of the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. You put your hands here for kind thoughts. Put your hands here for kind words, because your words can either elevate or cut like a knife. Put here to pray to Krishna to always stay in my heart. Let me be a Kinchana Gochara, selfless servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and be like the Goswamis at Vrindavan who prayed, "Never will I hear a criticism of a Vaishnav. Never will I hear. I don't care which Vaishnav it is. I don't want to hear criticism of it." Keep that around your heart and protect that creeper of bhakti from the mad elephant offense of criticizing Vaishnavs, whoever they are. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. So now we're going to have a kirtan. So let's put the asanas and books away, and we'll sing, and then we'll have prasadam, and we're counting down the minutes until the appearance day of Advaita Acharya, who is appearing tomorrow. It's a fast day till noon. Chant extra, read, take shelter of the Acharya. And then on Friday night, we'll be having Harinam Sankirtan in Palo Alto at University and Emerson Street. We have guests coming in from all over the world, flying in from Hungary tomorrow, who will be joining us there. And then Saturday, Sunday, there's massive book distribution. You can come out for 5 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever you like, but it'll all be arranged so everyone can come out. It's fun for the kids. The kids love Sankirtan. Please join us. Hare Krishna.